The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater. I'm Tom Bosley. Welcome to the magical world of radio. The four most wonderful words ever spoken, I think, are once upon a time. No matter how old you are, when somebody begins a story like that, you know you're in for a good time. And so today, we're taking a few pages from the best once-upon-a-timers ever, the Brothers Grimm. Particularly from one Grimm's fairy tale called The Master Thief. Our adventure story, The Master Thief, is adapted from Grimm's fairy tales and written especially for the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater by G. Frederick Lewis. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Invented.
Two 200 years ago, two brothers were born in Germany, and when they grew up, they became librarians. Of course, working in a library helped their interest in mythology really grow. That's a word that means myths, or ancient stories that have been handed down from grandmother to granddaughter or grandfather to grandson. So fascinating were these tales to the Brothers Grimm, for that's who they were, that they started collecting every folk and fairy tale they could find. And what makes a Grimm's fairy tale so different from any other is that it's the complete original. Nothing added, nothing subtracted. And it's because Grimm's fairy tales are so genuine that they are as popular today as when they were first told.
Mother, bring that tree over here in the wheelbarrow. The hole is ready for it.
I think, Father, I'm beginning to feel my age. My back is aching more than it used to when we planted trees.
I'll confess to you, I'm also feeling my years.
Oh, all this would be so much easier if our own son were alive. He could be helping us now.
He may be alive, but who knows where. That looks pretty sturdy. Hand me that post, Mother.
Yes.
Once the post is in, we'll tie the young tree to it, and there we are. What do you think?
It should bear good fruit.
Yeah. Whoever is that? That grand coach drawn up by four black horses? Why is it stopping here? Who's that man getting out? He has a monkey on his shoulder.
Well, you better talk to him. I'll go put the kettle on.
Hello there, old man.
Good afternoon. Beautiful afternoon.
Well, it is indeed a beautiful day.
What do you think, Jack? Huh?
Your monkey looks as if he really understands what you're saying.
Well, he does sometimes when he wishes to, eh, Jack?
Does he always sit on your shoulder?
Yeah, well, that's his perch.
Imagine that. A monkey with a name. Did you say Jack?
I did, sir. Jack is my sole companion.
Jack.
I'm a bachelor. No wife, no children. Merely this monkey.
Well, I've seen stranger things. Is there something I can do for you, sir?
If you really wish to please me, old man, nothing would give me greater pleasure than to enjoy a plainly cooked country dish.
Is that why you stopped at this house?
Precisely.
What would please you? To eat what we eat?
Well, cook me some potatoes in exactly the way you cook them for yourselves, and allow me, if you would, to sit down at your table with you and eat them.
Well, it's astounding. You are a count or a duke or perhaps even a prince, and yet you...
That is my pleasure, to eat that dish at your table. Madam?
Oh, Mother, this is my wife, sir.
Oh, how do you do? Oh, that monkey, is he trained?
Trained, tame, and he won't leave my shoulder.
This gentleman has done us the honor to stop at our house, Mother. He would like to eat potatoes with us. the way you prepare them.
Oh, are you sure, sir, that is what you would like? Why would anybody...
I would.
Potatoes as we eat them. My goodness, what will the rich think of next?
Sir, while my wife is preparing our supper, would you mind if I go on with my work? I have a few more apple trees to plant.
Have you no children who might help you do the planting?
Oh, I did have an only son, but he ran away many, many years ago.
Ran away?
A worthless wild boy, I'm afraid. It's been many years, and I've not heard a word from him.
There is always a reason a boy becomes bad. What were the influences on his life?
Oh, truly none bad, sir. His mother and I are poor, true, but we never did harm. We always believed in good and spoke of it at home in his presence. The Count, the lord over all this land who lives up there, can you see in the castle on the hill? This Count was my boy's godfather. And often had my boy with him. Let him play in the castle. Oh, a very good man.
A rich man?
Yes, of course. He is the Count.
Perhaps this was an influence on your boy. A poor boy? A rich godfather? Here, sir, let me help you hold that tree while you plant it.
Oh, no, you'll soil your fine clothes, sir.
Oh, no matter. Tell me how you go about planting.
Well, after I've prepared the holes and put in the young trees, I spread the roots and cover them and stamp down the earth. Well, not too fiercely, but firmly. And then this post goes in beside it. And with a rope, I tie it to the tree. That keeps them growing straight. Shows them how. Nature then takes care of the rest.
I see lying over there a crooked, knotted tree. Why don't you tie that one to a post so it will grow straight?
Sir, it is easy to see you are not familiar with gardening. That tree there is old and misshapen. It's too late for it to become straight. Trees must be trained while they are young.
Could it have been that way with your son? Had you trained him while he was still young, perhaps he would not have run away.
We did what we could, his mother and I.
Would you recognize him today, if he were to come home?
No, I don't think so. His face would be grown and changed, perhaps bearded. But he had a birthmark on his arm by which I would certainly know him.
A birthmark? What did it look like?
A strawberry.
Let me roll up my sleeve and show you a mark like this.
Heavens above! It is his mark! Oh, but sir, how could you be my son? You become a fine lord. Your clothing is the finest. Your carriage in the road drawn by four black stallions. Oh, no, you are a man of riches.
And you don't think your son could have come to that?
Are you my son?
Yes, I am. I am, father. I am the young tree bound to no post and grown misshapen and crooked.
But if you are my son, how have you... come by all this wealth?
I have become a thief. Huh? Oh, no, don't be alarmed, father. I am a master thief. I never run afoul of the law.
How can you be a thief and nobody's after you?
No police, nobody would know where to look for me. For me, there are neither locks nor bolts. Whatever I desire is mine. You see, father, I live by my wits.
Oh, my son... We shall have to tell your mother when we sit at table. It will distress her. It will.
I hope she will not think too badly of me. How many years it has been. I have been longing for the taste of these potatoes, mother. Ah, it brings back my childhood.
Mother, why are you so silent?
Oh, my son, of course I am happy you've returned to us, but I'm also very saddened by what you tell us. How you live, what you do.
He has no shame about it either.
Well, don't think I steal like a common thief, Mother. I only take what the rich can spare. It is not what I steal, or even who I steal from, but how I steal. It is almost like a game with me to outwit another person.
A thief is still a thief. So, give it up. Please don't do it anymore.
You will end up badly, my boy, believe me.
I hurt nobody, and I play the game as it is played in the world beyond this little house.
If the master of this land, the Count who lives in the castle on the hill...
Is he still alive? Still there? I remember him well.
Well, if the Count knew how you live, son, what you live by...
Oh, believe me, godfather or not, he would tell the authorities about you.
You are mistaken, father. He would not.
Now, you may be expert in the ways of your world, but you have lost sight of what honest people believe in.
All right, I shall prove it to you. After supper, I'll go to him. I shall tell him the absolute truth, and you will see.
I don't know whether to hope you are right so that you will not be sent to prison, or hope you are wrong so that I do not lose faith in everything I believe in.
Be that as it may, he is still my only child, even if he is a thief. And I bless this day you've returned to us, and I see you sitting in your old place at table. Now, let us not talk of stealing any more.
Strange, isn't it? A wild boy runs away and many years later returns home wealthy and successful. But something is missing in his life. Else why would a little supper of plain potatoes mean so much to him? And his boast of visiting the Count himself and confessing to him that he's a master thief. Will he do it? Why does the master thief believe he is above the law of the land? We'll find out when I return with Act Two.
For Your Life.
The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. The master thief could not just return home and sit down with his mother and father to a simple supper of country-cooked potatoes. He had to account for himself. His parents didn't applaud his way of life. They believed it was an evil life. So the master thief thought the only way they would forgive him for a life of lawbreaking would be if the Count himself forgave him. After supper, the coach and four black horses rolled into the castle courtyard at the top of the hill.
You will forgive me, sir, but I had not expected any visitors at this hour.
I apologize. I gave you no warning of my visit, but I happen to be visiting my father and mother who live in the valley below.
Ah, how happy your parents must have been to welcome a son who, by all one can see, has made a success of his life.
Yes, that is quite true, Lord Count. By all the yardsticks the world measures by, I am a success. There is no possession for which I could want.
Now tell me, why do you honor me with a call?
I remembered you.
You do?
Oh, yes.
You have the advantage over me.
I was very young. My father told me this evening that you let me play in your house when I was a child. And indeed, when I was but a baby, you held me in your arms at my baptismal.
Is that so? Well, I'm the godfather to a good many of the little children born of the peasants here. Tell me, how have you made your fortune in the wicked world?
By being equally wicked. I am a thief. A master thief.
Well, that is a cool answer. A master thief. Tell me more. In my time, I have seen and heard many things, but nothing to equal the apparent calm with which you view your lawless exploits. You're my godson, and because of that, and the kind esteem in which I hold your parents, I shall look to mercy rather than justice.
It is not that I am calm and without feeling. I have a unique talent, and I would wager a lifetime in prison against my ever being caught robbing anybody. No, do not pity me or apologize for me. My way of life is an art. I am proud of it.
Do you wish me to put your art to the proof?
Yes. Yes, I do. And if I fail, I shall bear whatever consequences you set forth.
If you should fail, will you promise me to mend your ways? And even if it means living in abject poverty, you will forswear life as a master thief?
If I fail, I will live as you say, Count.
Three tests I've been thinking of, even as I was listening to you.
Make them as difficult as you like. And if I do not perform your task...
You will reform your life. Is that a promise?
It is.
Well, in the first place, you shall steal my own horse, the one I keep for riding, out of the stable. Bear in mind, the soldiers guard him well.
Steal your horse.
Your second trial shall be to steal the sheet from beneath the bodies of my wife and myself when we are asleep, without our observing it.
Steal the sheet.
And thirdly, lastly... You shall steal out of the church the parson himself.
Steal the parson?
You think you're capable to meet these challenges?
If I am not, I have not the right to call myself a master thief.
Come along, Jack. Don't make such a fuss. You've seen me in disguise before. Oh, wasn't I dressed much like this as an old woman when we paid a visit to the Crown Prince Rudolph the night of the masked ball, huh?
Yes. That was the night the princess's jewels disappeared. This time, however, I am disguised as a poor woman. And that's why the brown stain on my face. At last, the Count's castle. On foot, it takes so much longer. Now, Jack, I want you to wait for me by this milestone and not a peep out of you. Jack, get your face out of that flask. One whiff put you right to sleep. I've doctored the wine with a sleeping potion. Now you stay here and be a good monkey.
Hello, soldier. It's a cold night, isn't it?
Come over to the fire here, old mother.
Oh, thank you, one and all. Oh, you always have such a warm fire here in the courtyard.
On cold nights.
Yes, the nights are long and cold, aren't they?
Tonight especially.
Yes, that's why I always carry a big flask of the best Hungarian wine.
Oh, I wondered what was in that big bottle. Isn't it too heavy for you to carry?
Oh, never fear, good soldier. We shall lighten it before it is morning. would you like a mouthful or two, perhaps? It's good medicine against the cold. Here we are, dear. I'll uncork it for you.
Well, that is very good.
Yes. Well, pass the bottle among the other soldiers, won't you? I'm sure they're as cold as you are.
Comrades, here's an old woman who brings a flask of wine as old as herself, and she invites us to share it. It'll warm our stomachs far better than our fire.
Psst. Jack. Good Jack. Hop on my shoulder. There we are. They're all asleep. Every last one of the soldiers guarding the Count's stables. There is nothing like a sleeping potion to make one drop off. Here we are. This is the stable door. An unlocked stable and sleeping guards make our job child's play, huh, Jack? This beauty of a beast will scarcely make a sound as we ride her away. Hold on as I climb on her back. There's a good girl. Now, my beauty, a slow walk through the courtyard past all the sleeping soldiers, and when we have gained the gate, off we will go as fast as lightning.
Good morning, my Lord Count. Good morning, sir. How does the world look to you from your window up there?
I'm coming down.
Good. Do, by all means.
I don't know what you've done to all these guards. I suppose it was you.
Yes, well, here is your horse, Lord Count.
I shall not ask you how you spirited her out of the stables.
Your stable doors were unlocked, which stable doors should never be.
I concede you have met my first challenge well.
I accept the concession.
You remember the second test?
Oh, yes, to steal the sheet from your bed. May I ask, does the Countess have a ring she wears to bed?
Indeed so. One she would not be parted from.
Well, let me add that to my test, to do away with that ring from her hand.
I must warn you, if you come here to the castle as a thief intent upon robbery, I will handle you as I would an ordinary thief.
Oh, by all means, I should expect no less. The best protection against a robber is a loaded gun, is it not?
I have a pistol, which I shall not hesitate to use.
Yes, nor would I, were I in your shoes.
I must say, you have extraordinary confidence.
Well, in my line of endeavor, I often find that my victim is my most willing assistant. Load your gun, sir, and we shall see.
Is this the town morgue?
Yes, it is. Are you looking for someone?
Yes, I am afraid I am. My dear brother has disappeared, and I fear he has been drowned or perhaps shot himself. Have you any bodies awaiting to be claimed?
Oh, yes, we have indeed so. Can you identify your brother?
Well, an unhappy task that I am prepared for. But if he is here, then I must do it.
How would you describe him?
Well, he would look very much like me. Same height, same build, color of hair.
Ah, yes. There are two men here who might fit that description.
Yeah.
One drowned, and the other shot. Well?
Yes, I'll take the one who was shot. Yes. That is poor Charles. So. Oh, Charles, what would our mother and father say were they alive?
Would you put your signature here, please, sir?
Yes.
And the name of your brother.
Yes, I'm glad to. Where do I sign?
Where it is marked, X.
So the master thief has found himself a look-alike corpse at the town morgue, one with a bullet hole in him. Well, what's he going to do with it? He has tricks up his sleeve, that's true, but this time, are the Count's challenges too difficult? A sheet to be stolen from the Count's bed and a ring from the Countess's hand. Those are not going to be simple tasks. Let's find out if and how he does it when I return shortly with Act 3.
Now what are you doing?
General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. It is the middle of the night. The master thief and his pet monkey Jack have sneaked into the gardens of the castle and are leaning a ladder against one of the walls. Above is the window to the Count's bedroom. Fortunately, the clouds hide the moon as the master thief whispers last-minute instructions to his little accomplice.
Jack, my boy, this is not going to be easy, and I am counting on your help. Oh, yes, I know you can do it. You've done harder things than this before. All right, now up the ladder we go now, one step at a time, pushing Mr. Deadman up in front of us. That's fine. Now, the top of his head should be just a few feet below the Count's window. Good. All right, Jack, this is where you come in. Now, go ahead. No, don't worry. I'm holding the corpse securely over my head. Now, climb up over me. Go ahead. That's good, my boy. Now, scramble up on Mr. Deadman's shoulder and knock. Go ahead, knock on the window.
Aha! So you thought I wouldn't be waiting for you?
Get down, Jack. Get down.
I hit him. He's fallen off the ladder. And now, dear, you stay in bed. I'm going down into the garden and see.
That's all the time we needed, Jack, to let the corpse fall, climb down, and hide behind these bushes. Look, there goes the Count. Look at him, dragging the corpse. He thinks it's me, to a corner of the garden. Well, in the dark, how can he tell? Oh, he's picking up a shovel. I do believe he's going to bury me. All right, this is the moment, Jack. The Count is fully occupied. I am going up to the Count's bedroom, pretend I am he, and play my little game for the sheet and the ring.
Oh, is that you, Count?
It is, my sweet. I thought it easier and quicker to come up by the ladder. Dear wife, the thief is dead, so I am burying him in the garden before daybreak, so nobody will know.
But won't he be missed?
They'll think he disappeared back to where he came from. Let me have our bedsheet, dear, so I may wrap the body in it.
I could go down to the linen closet and fetch you a fresh one.
No need for that. Besides, there isn't time.
As you wish. Here is the sheet.
Thank you, my dear.
Be careful, my dear husband, and hurry.
Oh, yes, don't worry. My dear... Thinking of that poor man who grew up crookedly and with crooked ways, my heart is filled with generosity. Let me have your ring.
My ring? The one I always wear? Oh, must I?
Be generous as I am, my dear. The unhappy man risked his life for it. So let him now take it with him into the grave.
Oh, you are right. How could I deny him this ring? What a night it has been to kill a thief.
A master thief, my dear, that makes all the difference. Right, now I shall go back to the garden by the ladder. I have much to do before morning. Do not wait up for me. Sleep well, my dear.
Oh, is that you, son?
Oh, yes, father. You are up late.
It's because we do not agree with the direction your life has taken. Your mother and I worry about you. Come sit by the fire. Oh, poor little thing. At last I understand why it chatters so.
My clever accomplice, Jack.
He's cold, that's why. Oh, now, what has your master been up to these last two nights, huh? Tell me, little one.
Well, he could probably tell you, Father, but I don't think you would understand. Where is Mother?
She's gone to bed.
Well, Jack, what can we tell my father? Yes, the Count has given me three trials. Should I fail any one of them, I have promised him to lead the straight and narrow, wherever that may lead me.
And if you should succeed in these trials, son?
We never discussed that, Father. For the Count was so positive, I could not match his inventiveness.
I was hoping he would talk to you and persuade you.
Well, I think he's enjoying himself. Last night, I was to remove his favorite riding horse from his stable. I returned it to him this morning. And just now, we played Kill the Robber.
I don't understand.
Father, I rather you kept your illusions about the great Lord Count. I can see his face tomorrow when I reveal it was not I he took a pot shot at, not I he buried in the garden, but a poor unfortunate rescued from the town morgue.
Oh, Jack, what kind of son have I given life to? Shooting, playing games with dead bodies?
And all that, Father, for a bedsheet and a woman's ring.
Oh, dear me. Now, you said there is a third task he has set before you.
Yes, quite a difficult one, even for me. It's to steal the parson from the church.
How can you steal a parson? Unless he wishes to be stolen.
Father, I have told you it is a game with me, a battle of wits, a contest of minds, not a contest between good and evil.
Oh, I wish I could believe it so innocent as that.
Come with me. Come with me tomorrow night when I am to steal the parson.
Me? Come with you?
Yes. See for yourself that your son is not evil. It is the sin in those I deceive that makes them my victims. As the saying goes, you cannot cheat an honest man.
What you are telling me is that you do good?
Well, in a way, I help make people see the truth of themselves. Well, will you come with me tomorrow night when I steal the parson from the church?
Yes, I will come, because I do not believe there can be badness in such a good man. Like a graveyard at night. Never did.
Oh, think of it as a garden.
Oh.
But fortunately for us, what is planted does not come up.
What is in those two big sacks?
Jack, come back here. Would you come back here? Stop playing with those crabs. Father, in here is a sack full of crabs. Now, I want you to help me. Here are some short wax candles. Now, we take a crab from the sack. So, keep careful, and stick a wax candle on its back.
Oh.
Then, light the candle so. Put the crab down and let it creep about the graveyard.
Oh.
Don't you follow me? Please, we're going to do that with the entire sackful.
I don't know which of us is the madder. You for telling me what to do or me for doing it? What are you doing?
Putting on a long black robe.
Makes you look like a monk.
Yes, well, I wish to look like the voice of the end of the world.
What would he look like?
I have no idea, but perhaps this false beard will help. Father, if all the crabs are creeping about the graveyard with lighted candles on their backs, I shall leave you now to go into the church and begin my performance.
Son, I'm afraid to watch this any further. I think I shall go home. I know you call all this a game, but I know of no games that are played in graveyards and churches, and if it is a game, I don't think I would appreciate it.
So be it. And thank you for getting my little torchbearers ready.
Good night, my boy, and heaven help you.
Yes, that is precisely what I think he will do. Jack, my boy, I don't think it's seemly to have a monkey on my shoulder as I speak from this pulpit. Do you? No. So make yourself comfortable in this long pocket of my robe. There you go. Shh, quiet now.
Hearken, sinful men. The end of all things has come. The last day is at hand. Whosoever wishes to go to heaven with me must creep into this sack. You, sir. You, sitting in the last pew of this church. Are you the parson here?
Yes, I am.
Come here, parson. Creep into this sack. The world is about to be destroyed. You wish entrance to heaven, parson?
Oh, yes, indeed, I do.
Have you looked out of the window? and seen the dead wandering about in the graveyard with their candles?
Yes, I have.
Well, then come up here, then, Parson. Come up to the pulpit. So, Parson, you know the hour is at hand.
Can I be saved?
You, Parson, no, I should think so. Crawl into my sack, and I shall deliver you unto heaven. You have no time to lose.
Yes, I'm coming.
Come along.
Spirit.
Come along.
I shall crawl into the sack as you wish.
Yes. In you go. All right. Now I shall tie the sack together. And now we shall travel the bumpy road to heaven.
Where are you taking me?
We are going over the mountains, my good parson. I'm afraid it's a bit bumpy.
Yes,
you are right. The road to heaven is a painful one.
Jack,
my boy, I don't think the parson is enjoying being dragged along the main road to the castle like this.
Black and blue.
Hang on, Jack. There's a big puddle in the road. I shall drag our friend right through it.
I'm getting drowned.
So we have just these 20 steps of stone up to the castle.
Oh, goodness. I don't think I can live long enough to die in heaven. Where are we now?
Now we are on the steps of heaven at last. We shall soon be in the outer courtyard. And now, good parson, can you hear the fluttering of the wings of angels? How glad they are to welcome you to heaven!
Where is the parson?
He is here, madam.
Count! Good morning. The countess and I were just speaking.
Then the parson?
He was brought here very late last night.
But where is he?
He is lying in a sack in the pigeon house. He hears the fluttering of pigeons' wings and believes that he is in heaven.
In a sack? Oh, goodness, we must have him untied.
No. He is deliriously happy.
So you accomplished all the trials I set before you?
I did my best. But I could not have succeeded were it not for stupidity, meanness, and selfishness in others, my best allies.
I don't wish to hear any more. You're an arch thief. And have won your wager.
Thank you, Count. I take my leave of you.
You have escaped with your whole skin. But see to it that you leave my land. If you ever step so much as one foot into it, I shall see you hanged.
Count, do you remember I agreed that if I failed the tasks you set before me, I would renounce my ways. I needed no threat of hanging then. I need none now. Perhaps in the eyes of the world outside, I have succeeded. But in my own eyes, I have failed. The victory over your soldiers, the parson, even yourself, is empty. So, if you will permit me, I shall abandon, once and for all, my old ways. I would like to return home, to live my life with my mother and father. And perhaps together we shall find, no matter how old and crooked a tree is, it is never too late for it to become straight.
Were I to put a postscript to this tale, I would tell you that the master thief and his mother and father lived happily ever after. And word all over the land was that they had a vast orchard of the straightest and most beautiful trees to be found anywhere. And I think you know why.
Practically invented camping.
I have just been counting, and there are about 50 more Grimm's fairy tales, which I have to confess, I believe are the most fabulous and fantastic ever written. So if you'd like your imagination sparked by a few more of these
not-so-grim fairy tales. Find yourself a copy and read the original version. Who knows what adventures you'll be discovering there. Reading is another land of make-believe. I know you'll enjoy exploring.
Our cast included Paul Hecht, William Griffiths, Bryna Rayburn, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
This is Tom Bosley inviting you to return to the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater for another exciting tale you can hear through the magic of radio. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater is recommended by NEA, the National Education Association.